Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Trucap Finance Limited Q2 FY24 conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star followed by zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. At this time, I hand the conference over to Ms. Purvangi Jain from Valorem Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Good morning, everyone, and a warm welcome to you all. My name is Purvangi Jain from Valorem Advisors. We represent the investor relations of Trucap Finance Limited. On behalf of the company, I would like to thank you all for participating in the company's earnings call for the second quarter and the first half of financial year 2024. Before we begin, a quick cautionary statement. Some of the statements made in today's con call may be forward-looking in nature. Such forward-looking statements are subject to risk and uncertainties, which could cause actual results to differ from those anticipated. Such statements are based on management's beliefs as well as assumptions made by and information currently available to the management. Audiences are cautioned not to place any undue reliance on these forward-looking statements in making any investment decisions. The purpose of today's earnings conference call is purely to educate and bring awareness about the company's fundamental business and financial quarter under review. Now I would like to introduce you to the management participating with us in today's earnings call and hand it over to them for their opening remarks. We have with us Mr. Rohanjeet Singh Juneja, Managing Director and Chief Executive Officer. We also have Mr. Sanjay Kukreja, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Sumit Khanna, Head of Digital Credit Product, Mr. Gaurav Bhargava, Head of Gold and Branch Business. Without any further delay, I request Mr. Rohanjeet Singh Juneja to start with his opening remarks on the financial highlights. Thank you.
Thank you, Purvangi. Welcome to our earnings call today. Before we get into the earnings comments and our strategy going forward, I am very pleased to tell you that Trucap's board has approved an equity infusion of ₹1.68 billion in a combination of warrants and compulsory convertible debentures to Zeer Global Opportunities Fund and Nova Global Opportunities Fund, along with a few existing investors of the company. This equity infusion will bolster our net worth to over ₹4 billion and bring down our leverage to 1.2x from an already low 2x. This will enable continued robust growth in AUM, especially with our existing and potentially new co-lending partners, which should hopefully enhance earnings growth in a faster and swifter manner. Now, coming to our quarterly earnings results. In the second fiscal quarter of 2024, we reported 60% quarter-on-quarter growth in pre-tax profits to ₹27 million, driven by robust growth in disbursements of ₹2.95 billion, up from ₹2.68 billion in the previous quarter and ₹1.55 billion a year ago. For the first 6 months of the year, disbursements have been ₹5.62 billion, up from ₹3.19 billion a year ago, representing increasing scale and volume growth driven by expansion of our distribution network, coupled with addition of co-lending partners. To illustrate on both these important points further related to capital allocation and distribution, first on capital allocation, we have expanded lending as a service partnerships from one lender a year ago to five lenders today, which include HDFC Bank, DCB Bank, Shivalik Small Finance Bank, UGrow Capital, and Central Bank of India. This addition of partners has enabled us to disperse $5.62 billion in the first 6 months of the year, of which these partners have contributed approximately $3 billion. That means $2.62 billion of disbursements has happened through our own resources, for which we have raised net debt of only $0.33 billion. This goes to show that with $0.33 billion of net debt raised in the first half of fiscal 24, we were able to grow disbursements by $5.62 billion and our AUM by $1.9 billion, which essentially is the difference of 7.7 billion at the end of September, minus the AUM on March 31st of 5.81 billion. The benefits of this accretion should start reflecting in numbers in the back half of this fiscal and more so in fiscal 25. Lastly, due to this strategy adopted on capital efficiency from August 2021, our leverage continues to remain low at 2x versus 1.9x in the previous quarter. Secondly, on distribution, with the expansion of lending as a service partnerships, TrueCap will need to cater to a larger volume of disbursements, which explains the branch expansion strategy that we embarked on over 18 months ago. Our distribution footprint has gone up by 63 branches in the last 1 year to 122 branches at the end of September 2023. The majority of these branch openings have been in Tier 2, Tier 3, and Tier 4 towns, which today represent almost 50% of our branch network. Our footprint today covers Maharashtra, Madhya Pradesh, Gujarat, Rajasthan, Delhi, NCR, Goa, and Punjab, and further branch additions will be in these states only. Given that the majority of these co-lending partnerships are driven by the MSME gold loan product, over 76% of our quarterly disbursements were driven by MSME gold loans. Our track record in the gold-backed product has been fairly resilient, with over 18.5 billion of cumulative disbursements done in the last 3.5 years, with only 53 million being taken into auction where we have recovered more than 109% of principal plus interest and given money back to the customer. Gross NPAs in this product are a meager 5 basis points. In the collateral-free MSME business loan product, we have disbursed 0.72 billion in the quarter, up from 0.55 billion in the previous quarter. Cumulatively, we have disbursed 5.67 billion in MSME business loans, with our gross NPAs in that product being 2.8%. Assets under management at the end of September 2023 were 7.8 billion, up from 6.6 billion in June 2023, and up 72% over the last 1 year. The product composition of our total on and off balance sheet AUM today is 65% in gold loans, 34% in MSME business loans, and 1% in loan against property and personal loans, which are in runoff mode. Active customer count, which was 23,450 in September 2021 and 57,150 in September 2022, is up to almost 81,000 customers today. Gross NPAs were flat quarter over quarter at 1.1% versus 2.8% a year ago. This improvement year over year has been driven by a relentless focus on resolving legacy LAP and personal loans, which last year contributed to almost 60% of our total gross NPAs. Today, only 11% of our NPAs come from legacy LAP and personal loans, which are also in the process of being resolved by the end of this fiscal year. Collection efficiency in the gold loan product is well north of 200% due to prepayment, repayment, plant closures, etc. While for the business loan product, collection efficiency has ranged from 92 to 95% since September 2022. On the net interest margin, which came in at 5.5%, still lower than our desired range of 8%, a few things have happened. One is due to the rate hikes being passed on to us from June 2022 onwards, we have seen margin compression. Secondly, incremental funding cost that had come down in the June 2023 quarter has been flat since then, which resulted in lack of improvement in the NIM in the September quarter. To improve NIM going forward, the company is writing more business with lending as a service partners, which gets funded at a fixed hurdle rate to the partner. Coming on to cost to income, which we are looking to improve through productivity and tech enhancements, we disbursed almost 40,200 loans in the September quarter versus 35,000 loans in fiscal 1Q and 22,600 loans in September 2022. This means we have averaged close to 442 loans made per working day in the previous quarter, versus 380 loans in the June 2023 quarter and 248 loans a year ago. Almost 48% of our branches have broken even, and we expect this number to go up to 65%+ in the current fiscal. More than 37% of our branches have an AUM in excess of 40 million rupees, and we are now very keenly focused on substantially improving branch productivity, which is measured in loans per day, per branch, per person, and the resulting profitability it brings to the business. As mentioned on the prior call, the pace of increase in adding new branches will be slower for the rest of fiscal 24, and OPEX as a percentage of AUM should decline in the last quarter of this fiscal and in fiscal 25. Furthermore, with several other initiatives being undertaken by the company to substantially enhance business volume through tech enhancement, our cost to income should start to see material improvement in fiscal 25. In conclusion, we want to wish everyone a very happy Diwali and now open the call for questions and answers. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We take the first question from the line of Krupesh Shah, an individual investor. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello. Yes, yes, Mr. Krupesh. Hello. Yes, sir. Yeah, good morning, sir. Thank you for giving the opportunity. So my question was about the gold loan. So gold loan has increased over 60% of our loan book. So, and also about the co-lending, is it a big part of our book going ahead? And why there are lower margins and the growth is low for the company overall? So on gold loans, that's 65% of the total AUM, which includes the on plus the off balance sheet. In terms of co-lending today in terms of writing business, it's gone up to about 39% of total AUM. And this number will go up to about between 42 to 45% by March 2025. I don't think growth has slowed down. Growth has actually been fairly resilient. We are being selective about the kind of business that we want to write. So, for example, in the months of September and October, gold traditionally becomes more competitive because of Diwali. In those times and in times when gold prices go up in a fairly robust manner, we get somewhat cautious. We don't want to compete at pricing that is not sustainable for the long run, number one. Number two, in terms of gold prices going up, while that's good for the business, that can be very good for lending as well. We tend to be a little more cautious in those times because any kind of exogenous shocks which can lead to a swift decline in gold prices will not be good for the business and, more importantly, not good for customers. So we tend to be more cautious in those times, due to which September and October have been a little slower than prior months, but that's perfectly fine. In the unsecured business loan category as well, we have made the product much simpler, but at the same time, the selection criteria is fairly onerous. So it's better to write good business, maybe at a slightly lower yield, than to write more voluminous business at a higher yield, where the risk of delinquencies and the risk of provisioning increases at a later stage.
Okay, so going ahead, what would be the profitability target of the company?
So we would not like to give any formal guidance in terms of profitability, but the idea is to first obviously strive towards getting to a 2% ROA and then further up from there. I think in the last year to year and a half, our profitability has been slightly lower due to the branch expansion that is happening. So as I mentioned in the opening comments as well, we have added more than 65 branches in the last 1 year. In fact, 31 of those branches came in the June quarter itself. So there's a CapEx and there's a CapEx and OpEx cost associated with starting those branches. It's also important to remember that when you open the branches, the expense comes first and the revenue comes later. So there's a tail effect that there will be a catch-up on the revenue and the earning side as well. These branches are now breaking even in a shorter time frame because of co-lending relationships. So as more than 48% of our branches have broken even, which we've guided to about 65% will break even by the back half of the year, you should see a good jump in profitability going forward. But we would not like to give a formal guidance on the profit number.
Oh, okay, sure, sir. And the last question is about recently we have issued warrants over here and we have done multiple rounds for this fundraising. So what's the reason and where would be this utilized? And are we expecting more such fundraising rounds going ahead?
So I don't know whether multiple rounds. So there's an equity infusion that has been approved by the board yesterday, which is on a combination of warrants and CCDs, compulsory convertible debentures. So about just under 60 crores is expected by the end of December with the balance coming in, which is almost about 109 crores, which will come in over the course of the next 18 months. So this equity infusion is a big boost to our net worth. Also, it will help us expand business substantially and keep leverage very low. So, you know, the two choices always in front of management, in front of board is, do you want to increase leverage, take it up to 3 to 4x, and wait to raise equity at a later stage, or do you want to equitize the business further, run at lower leverage, especially because you're doing a good amount of business with co-lending partners? We chose the latter, where we believe that keeping leverage low is fairly important for an NBFC of our size. Number two, increasing the net worth will help us expand these co-lending relationships further and potentially new co-lending relationships also, because any partner would look at you in terms of how big a company's net worth is and how safe a company is to do business with, because 80% of the capital that is being contributed is by them. In terms of any future fundraisers, I mean, we have this fundraise for now that we just announced yesterday. So anything in the future is something that we would look in the future on, which I would not be able to comment right now.
Okay, got it. It was very... Thank you so much, sir.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants, if you wish to join the question queue, you may please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. We take the next question from the line of Pranav, an individual investor. Please go ahead, sir. Mr. Pranav, your line is in the talk mode. So
hello.
Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I had a couple of questions. The first one is, there have been recent news talking about contractionary trajectory in the monetary policy, so which will lead to build-up risk in the NBFCs. How do you think this will impact us and the whole NBFC sector as a whole?
Pranav, I'm sorry, I couldn't hear your question clearly. Can you speak a little louder, please?
Hello, am I audible now?
Yes.
Yeah, so there have been recent news talking about contractionary trajectory in monetary policy, which will lead to build-up of risk in NBFC. So how do you think this will impact us and the NBFC sector as a whole?
Sorry, I'm still not understanding your question clearly. There have been talks about contractionary trajectory in the
monetary policy.
Okay, what do you mean by that? Sorry, I'm still a little unclear.
So there have been a hike in interest rates by RBI. Okay. So that's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
How will it impact us?
Yeah, so, I mean, hikes in interest rates over the course of the last 1 year when the RBI raised by 250 basis points has impacted us on the net interest margin primarily, and that's why you've seen a contraction from 7.5% to about 5.5% for us. So it has clearly impacted us very, very directly. We are expecting this impact to dissipate, which means that it should reduce going forward. So our net interest margin should improve going forward. The reason for that is because in the previous two policy meetings, the RBI has actually not raised the rates. And we feel that hopefully that should be the case going forward as well. where there would not be any more further rate hikes, but obviously that depends on the inflation trajectory and depends on a lot of other exogenous factors like the Fed, etc. But for us on the NIM, a few things are happening. One is on the funding side, hopefully with the equity announcement as well, we're looking to see how we can reduce our cost of funds on the incremental borrowing that we are taking from banks. So whatever we are borrowing incrementally, hopefully that should come to us at a lower rate relative to what we borrowed in the past, number one. Number two is when we are funding more of the business through co-lending partnerships, that funding happens at a fixed rate to the partner. So both these together should help in mitigating NIM compression going forward, and it should help us to improve our NIM profile over the course of the next 12 to 18 months.
Okay. Understood. So the next question I have is how do we compete against our other NBFCs and other peers in the sector? Because many other peers are also following the similar trends. Like they are also entering into gold lending, etc. So how do we strategize to compete against them?
Sure. So, you know, this is a question that almost everyone asks. Firstly, you know, if there was no competition in the space, then either there's something not correct in the space because of which there's no competition. India is a very big market, and rightfully so, there is competition. What I can't speak for other NBFCs or other financial institutions, but for ourselves, what we do is we choose the pockets that we really want to compete in. So for instance, when we decided we wanted to be in the gold-backed business loan product, we chose the states that we wanted to be in and very carefully calibrated where in those states we wanted to be in based on the demand for the products. So the states that we spelled out, which are Maharashtra, Madhya Pradesh, Gujarat, Rajasthan, Punjab, Haryana, Goa, etc., were the states that we chose. We decided not to go down south because it was more competitive than we wanted it to be. And in these states, then we selected where we wanted to have our branches. So almost 84% of our branches are in Tier 2, Tier 3, Tier 4 town. We feel we have no differentiating factor being in a Tier 1 town. Tier 2, Tier 3, Tier 4 is where we think we can compete. What we do have is certain products which may be different from some of the competition. And I would not like to spell out all the detail on the products because then we're giving away our competitive edge.
Right.
And how you assist the customer. I think Tier 2, Tier 3, Tier 4 towns is more about, how you assist the customer. Customer service, while it's a very simple word to say, is very difficult to execute. So, you know, there has to be a certain differentiation, which we feel we've done a decent job in the customer experience given to this customer. And how quickly you can provide assistance to the customer as well. You have to also, ensure there's in the gold product, especially this quick disbursement and quick redemption ability as well for the customer. In the business loan product, which is the collateral-free business loan product, there's a lot of documentation that is required. So how you can assist the customer in that, and how you can make their life easier so that they can continue with their day-to-day business while they still try to take a loan. I think that is the most important differentiating factor for us.
Okay, so understood. Yeah, that was all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. A reminder to all the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Ankur Gulati, an individual investor. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, Rohan. Two questions. One is effective tax rate, 40% plus this quarter.
So the tax rate keeps moving around from quarter to quarter. It's a very complicated issue, but what happens with us is in finance cost, there's roughly about a 1.7 to 2 crore expense every quarter for us, which is a non-cash expense due to the corporate guarantee that is given by the holdco, Wilson Holdings, to our lenders. Now, because of this, there's a difference between the cash tax paid and the actual tax that has to be paid. And that's the reason why the tax rate moves from quarter to quarter. I think it'll be fair to say that on a yearly basis, it will be between 25 to 30%, and one should look at it that way.
Second question, just help us understand, in the last portfolio, if you're getting a gross yield of hypothetically 20% from the borrower, how is that split between TrueCap and the co-lender in your P&L? I mean, does the 20% entirely come to your interest income and then you pay out something to co-lender, or how does it work from accounting perspective?
Yeah, so we use a number of 20%, though 20% is a high number to the borrower overall for the entire last portfolio, because the idea behind co-lending is to assist the borrower in being able to give them loans at a fairly reasonable rate as well. So that was the concept behind co-lending in the first place. But assuming it's 20%, just to stay with that number, there's a fixed hurdle rate that is provided to the last partner. So beyond the fixed hurdle rate, whatever that rate may be, if the 20% is the rate you're charging the customer, the difference between the hurdle rate and the 20% on their 80% is what we keep for all the services that are provided, which is basically sourcing the customer, servicing the customer, and collecting on the customer as well. So, and this is a mammoth effort, right, from sourcing to collection. So there's that's why there's that fixed hurdle rate that is provided to the to the last partner while we keep the balance, and on our 20% capital contribution we keep the entire yield. There is a split between interest income and non-interest income, because there's also processing fee and there are certain other charges that get split accordingly. So that's the answer to your question. Also on the BC relationship, so with Shivalik Small Finance Bank, for instance, the BC partnership where they fund 100% on their books, we do the sourcing, servicing and collection there. All of it gets booked in non-interest income.
So out of 20, if hurdle is 15, on 80%, 15 goes to co-lender, correct? And that
correct.
Doesn't form part of your interest income.
Correct. Correct.
5% on their 80 is part of your interest income or other income?
No, that is part of our other income, but there's PF and there are other charges, for example, whether it's penal, whether there's insurance income, etc. All of that will go into non-interest income.
Understood. And any updates on credit rating now or timelines for credit rating upgrade post the fundraise?
So, I mean, we are BBB plus rated with Informatics. We have a BBB with CARE. We're hoping the rating agencies take cognizance of not just the fact that we have grown the loan book in a very risk-mitigated manner and taken it up from March 2020 when it was 36.7 crores to over 800 crores today. And the split of the book has become a lot safer, where gross NPAs have gone down from almost 5% at that time to about 1.1%. We're hoping the rating agencies take cognizance of the fact and look at and look to see what they can do with our rating. I can't give you specifics on timing. Obviously, that is up to the rating agencies. But hopefully, with equity, new equity coming in as well, our debt to equity going down from 2x to 1.2x, that should have a positive impact, hopefully.
Okay, so for this quarter, your interest expense is 182 million.
Correct.
If I take it as average of last two quarter borrowing, it comes to 16.4 annualized. Out of which you're saying 18 crores, 1.7 is to promoter. If I knock that off, your borrowing cost is still 15%. So this 15, is that a fair number?
No, that is not a fair. Like I mentioned to you, there is that non-cash expense, right, which moves around from quarter to quarter depending on the amount of debt that you raise in the quarter. Incrementally, we raised money at 12.4% in the second quarter. It was slightly lower in the first quarter, which is closer to about 11.9% in the first quarter. And I mentioned that in my remarks as well, that the sharp decline that we saw in the first quarter was not replicated in the second quarter. Second quarter, it was actually up a little bit, and that is, I think, the rate environment globally and not just in India. So, incrementally 12.4, our total cost of funds today are about 12.9%, which has gone up from 11.9% 12 months ago. And the reason for that is the rate hikes got passed on to us. Our endeavor is to bring this down by about 100 to 150 basis points over the course of the next 18 months.
So, just help me understand 12.9 on current borrowing of, I think, 470.
I'm very happy to take that with you offline, Ankur. We can run you through the whole math line by line, no problem at all. I think it would be more appropriate if we take that offline.
Credit rating, if there is an upgrade to 100 plus basis
points? So, whatever happens, if you have a credit rating, whenever that does happen, that again is dependent entirely on the rating agencies, how they look at how safe of an entity we are now going forward, given the fact that our net worth should be closer to about 400 crores. And we've done four rounds of equity infusion now with this one over the last 4 years. Incrementally, the funding cost will go down. It's not that it will go down on the entire back book, but incremental funding costs should go down. The difference between a BBB plus and a BBB rated entity, for example, the difference would be close to about 100 to 120 basis points on incremental funding. Obviously, if you go into the A minus rating, whenever that does happen over a period of time, then the difference becomes much larger because a lot more banks can fund you much larger amounts once you break into the A family.
Okay, fine. All right, thanks.
Thank you, Uncle.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. Participants, if you wish to join the question queue, you may press star and one. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for joining the call. Wish everyone a very happy and prosperous Dhanteras and happy Diwali. Look forward to talking to you all on the next call. Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of Trucap Finance Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.